Father, we thank you that you have given us the Bible to help us know you, to help us understand you. We pray that you would help us now as we listen to the Bible being read, as we listen to Bartow speaking about the Bible. We ask that you'd help us to understand all that you want us to know about you and about how we can know you for ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen.
The Bible reading is from Titus chapter 3, verses 3 to 7. At one time, we too acted like fools. We didn't obey God. We were tricked. We were controlled by all kinds of desires and pleasures. We were full of evil. We wanted what belongs to others. People hated us, and we hated one another. But the kindness and love of God our Saviour appeared. He saved us. It wasn't because of the good things we had done. It was because of his mercy. He saved us by washing away our sins. We were born again. The Holy Spirit gave us new life. God poured out the Spirit on us freely. That's because of what Jesus Christ, our Saviour, has done. His grace made us right with God. So now we have received the hope of eternal life as God's children.
从前我们也愚蠢，悖逆，易受迷惑，受各种私欲和享乐的驱使，心里充满了嫉妒和恶念，令人憎恶，也彼此憎恨。但我们的救主上帝向人展现了他的恩慈和仁爱，借着重生之喜和圣灵的更新拯救了我们。这并非因为我们有义行，而是因为他的怜悯。
Căci noi eram altădată fără minte, neascultători, rătăciți, robiți de tot felul de pofte și de plăceri, trăind în răutate și în pismă. Vrednici să fim urâți și uitându-ne unii la alții. Dar când s-a arătat bunătatea lui Dumnezeu, Mântuitorul nostru și dragostea lui de oameni, El ne-a mântuit nu pentru faptele făcute de noi în neprihănire, ci pentru îndurarea Lui, prin spălarea nașterii din nou, prin înnoirea făcută de Duhul Sfânt, pe care L-a vărsat din belșug peste noi, prin Iisus Hristos, Mântuitorul nostru, pentru că odată socotiți neprihăniți prin Harul Lui, să ne facem înnădejde moștenitori ai vieții veșnice.
Good afternoon. It's very nice to be here. I'm really pleased to see so many friendly faces. And I would like to think about some questions with you this afternoon. We will mention the drama later, not immediately. I hope that while you're here, you will allow these questions to live inside you a little bit, and that you will reflect a little bit on what I'm asking, and also I really hope that you'll discover some wonderful, amazing answers today. So the first question is the title of this talk, which maybe some of you have seen on the cards. If I try to be good, why do I need God? Yeah? If I try to be good, then why do I need God? Before we look at that in detail, I'd like to ask a question behind this question. Because I don't know if you want to be good. Do you want to be good? There are many people in the world who don't want to be good. They just think, my life is for me, I can do what I want, if I hurt other people, that's fine. Good, what does good mean? There are plenty of people like that. But if you do want to be good, then why? Why do you want to be good? Is it because you want to be at peace inside yourself? Do you want to be comfortable with yourself? Is that the reason? Or is it maybe a little bit like Claire, that you want other people to respect you and think what a good person you are, and you want them to like you? Or is it possibly that you hope that at the end of your life, if you've been good enough, then maybe God will accept you? I don't know what reasons there are, but if you want to be good, I wonder why. I'd like to tell you a story, because sometimes stories help us to think about things. This is a story from a long, long time ago in a country a long way from here, and there was a man who bought and sold pearls. And one day this man found the most wonderful pearl in the whole world. It was huge. It felt heavy in his hand, and at the same time it was light. When you touched it, it felt warm and it felt cool at the same time. It was amazing. When you looked at it, you saw a pure white pearl, and at the same time you could see all the colors of the rainbow. This was a wonderful, beautiful, precious pearl, the best in the whole world. And he thought to himself, for a pearl like this, I must make a special box. I want to sell it for a good price, and I want to be able to show this pearl in a really nice box. So he found some wood which smelt delicious. And he made the box, and in the surface of the box he put gold and ivory and diamonds and rubies. Even the feathers of colourful birds he fitted inside the design of this box. And then he travelled around his country wanting to sell his pearl. Would you like to buy my pearl? This is the best, the most wonderful pearl in the whole world. Feel it, look at it, he would say. And after some time, he met a man who said, Yes, okay, I'll buy it, he said. I would like to have the box, but you can keep the pearl. I'll take the box, but you can keep the pearl. But this is the most special, the most wonderful pearl in the whole world. Now, this story is told every year to millions of school children in the country far away from here. And this story is told to them because it shows how stupid people can be. Yeah? This person looks at the box, the beautiful box. It really is beautiful, but it is not the most important thing. The translation, if I understand correctly, of the proverb which is used in this country is keep box, return pearl. Okay? And all the children and all the adults in that country know this because they've heard the story. Maybe not exactly the way I've told the story, but they know the idea. Do we want to be people who miss the point? Do we want to be people who accept something which is not so important and reject the really, really important things? In my life, that is exactly what I did for many years. When I was younger, I didn't believe in God. I was very proud that I didn't believe in God. And at that time, I could give you a reason why I didn't believe. I would say, I study science, and science explains everything, so I don't believe in God. But now, as an older person, looking back to when I was younger, I understand that the reason I gave was not the true reason. The true reason was that I didn't want to believe in God. And I didn't want to believe because I wanted to be independent. I wanted to be the boss in my life. And if there is a God, then I'm not the boss in my life and I'm not independent. And that is the reason why I decided I didn't believe in God. I was very, very, Claire says that she was proud. I was prouder. Okay. I don't believe in God because I'm so intelligent. Proud and stupid. Stupid because I chose to open my eyes to some things and I chose to close my eyes to other things. I chose to open my eyes to science, and that's lovely. Science is beautiful and wonderful. There are probably many scientists here, and I think you'll agree. It's fascinating. It's interesting to study science. We learn amazing things. But it's a little bit like the beautiful box for the pearl. Because you see, at the same time, I chose to close my eyes to the truth about God. I chose the beautiful box and I threw away the pearl. Is anyone here like that? I wonder if you recognize yourself in any way. You choose to love all the wonderful things in this world where we live, but you push away the one who made those things. That's very sad. Do you know something? It's not only atheists who do that. Atheists are people who don't believe in God. It's not only atheists who do that. There are many, many, many religious people in the world who have the same problem. Many religious people love their religion. They love the traditions. They love the buildings. They love the laws. But they do not know God. Maybe a little bit like what Claire was saying from when she was young. In Jesus' day, Christians follow Jesus, yeah? When Jesus was here on this world, in this world, who were the people who hated him most? Can somebody tell me? Who were the people who hated Jesus most? They were the Pharisees. They were the religious people. Because they loved their beautiful box of their traditions and their laws and their ideas, but they rejected the pearl who is Jesus. Why is this? Why are people so blind? And this is where we go back to our first question. If I try to be good, why do I need God? You see, our problem is that when we hear that question, very often we look at the question in the wrong way. We look at the question through our own eyes. We say, if I try to be good, why do I need God? But we don't look at the question through God's eyes. We don't ask God what he thinks about the situation. Let me give you a couple of examples of not looking through the right eyes. Here, I hope, is a picture of the biggest ant in the world. Okay? It really is very big, and if it bites you, you notice. Okay? If you are an ant, a small ant, yeah, and you see this ant, you say, oh, it's huge, it's frightening, it's dangerous, woo, what an enormous ant. But if you look at that ant through your eyes, you say, it's dead. Okay? So looking at the ant through the eyes of small ants is very different from looking at the ant through your eyes. Or in our drama. Ollie met his friend Clement, yeah? And when he heard that Clement washed the toilets, did you notice he was going to give him a hug? And then, he didn't really want to touch him anymore. Because Ollie thought, Clement is dirty. He cleans the toilets. Yeah. But when they found themselves where Eleanor was, well, I think Justin was not dead. Yeah. When they found themselves where the surgery was happening, with a sign saying sterile, suddenly both of them recognized how dirty they were. It depends with what eyes we look at the question. If I try very hard to be good, why do I need God? Are we asking the question from our own point of view or from God's point of view? Now, some of you, I said, might be scientists. And if you're scientists, you probably like graphs, okay? So I thought I'd give you a few graphs to look at, okay? You'll notice along the left-hand side, it says level of goodness, okay? Level of goodness. Now, I wonder which one of these you are. Yeah, now, Claire, we know, was person number 5, okay? Yeah, and the poor boy she gave the broken ruler to was person number 4. And if, let's imagine you're person number 3, you can feel quite pleased with yourself because you're better than 4 and 1 and maybe others as well. And you think, if I try very hard, I might get up to number 1. I might reach the target of being 1. Let's look at the same graph on a different scale. You'll notice on the left-hand side now the scale is from 0 to 10. Okay, exactly the same information, but on a different graph. Okay, now person number 3 can still feel pleased with themselves if they're looking at person number 1 or person number 4. But it's a little bit more difficult now to think that they can get to the top. What about this graph? Thousands, million down to 0, and everybody, person 1 to person 8, in exactly the same situation, hopelessly down at the bottom. And that is the truth about us. That graph shows the truth much better. When we ask, am I good enough for God? God doesn't give us this graph. And he doesn't give us that, it's the next one, he doesn't give us that graph, he gives us that graph. Am I good enough for you, God? Now, this isn't just a graph. This is the truth about our lives, and it's a serious problem for us. Let's now look at the Bible passage which we heard read earlier. The first part of that Bible passage describes us as we really are. This is how God sees us. So let's read this. At one time, we too acted like fools. We didn't obey God. We were tricked. We were controlled by all kinds of desires and pleasures. We were full of evil. We wanted what belongs to others. People hated us. And we hated one another. This is not a pretty picture. We don't like to see ourselves in this way. But I'm sorry, Claire, to refer to you so often. It's interesting that goody, goody Claire hated people who she thought were bad. That was the honest truth about goody, goody Claire. Now, of course, in the lives of all of us here, there will be many beautiful, wonderful things as well as the ugly things. I understand that. But God knows that our lives are full of lots of rubbish. And if we are like this, the question is there some way that we can try very, very hard to make ourselves good enough? Can we somehow make ourselves get to the 1,000 million spot? And the answer is no, it's absolutely impossible. It is, I was going to use the word hopeless, but I'm not sure if hopeless is the right word. It is hopeless if I look at myself and I say, can I get there? But it's not hopeless if instead we look to God. The question we're asking is, if I try to be good, do I need God? And the answer is, yes, we do need God, and he wants to be there for us. So in our Bible passage, the next verse starts with the wonderful word, but. Yeah? It says, terrible situation for all of us, but. And when we hear the word but, that means there is hope. But the kindness of love of God, our Savior, appeared. And then let's see what comes next. He saved us. He saved us. We can't make our own way to God, even if we try very, very hard. But it says God can save us. It wasn't because of the good things we had done. It's nothing to do with us trying very hard to be good. That's not how it works. It's never enough. So how can we be saved? It was because of his mercy. It's because of who God is. It's because God loves to bring people back to him. He is full of mercy. And it's because he washes away our sins. All the rubbish, he clears it out and he cleans us up. He chooses to forgive us. He chooses to forgive the rubbish in our lives. And how does God to do this? How does God do this? It's because of what Jesus Christ, our Savior, has done. His grace made us right with God. We can't make our own way to God, but God can come to us and save us. Jesus came into our world, and most of you here know that Jesus, like in the picture at the back there, Jesus gave his life dying on a cross. Why? Was it a dramatic gesture? Was it to be an example of suffering in a terrible way? No. Jesus gave his life dying on the cross to pay for our sins. That is why your sins can be washed away, because if you only understand one sentence today, please understand this sentence. Jesus paid for your sins. If Jesus has paid for our sins, do we need to pay for them? Calvin, do you need to pay for your sins? Why not? Okay. I'm putting you on the spot, Calvin. I could have asked other people, but I saw your smiling face, so I thought, well, I'll ask Calvin, okay? If Jesus has paid for Calvin's sins, Calvin doesn't need to pay for them. It's that cross where Jesus died which changes everything in our lives. Jesus just wants us to put our trust in him. I would love to say more. God doesn't only want to forgive us. He does want to forgive us, okay? He does want to forgive us. He doesn't only want to forgive us. He wants to come into our lives and to change us. He wants to be the king, the boss in our lives. If you remember, I didn't want that. So I said, I don't believe in God Because I understood that if God is God, then he has to be the king. He wants to be the king, the boss in our lives. He wants you to love him and to follow him. And he wants to make your life something beautiful for the people around you. But please, please understand that if your thinking is wrong, and if you're thinking about yourself and what you can do, you will be lost. But if your thinking is right and you recognize that you do need God's help, that you need God's forgiveness, and that you can, through Jesus, receive that forgiveness, then you can live a life now and for all time in perfect, perfect love and harmony with God. And that is wonderful. Would you like that? That's the final question. Would you like that?